every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord my God is my help. Therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, in your great love, answer me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. For your sake I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Lord, in your great love, answer me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Hail to you, our King, obedient to the Father. You were led to your crucifixion like a gentle lamb to the slaughter. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are on the threshold of the sacred Triduum, the Holy Triduum, the culminating days of the Lenten season, and in a certain respect, the holiest days of the holiest week of the year, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, all culminating in the Great Easter Vigil and the inauguration of the 50 days of Easter, the 50 days of great joy, the greatest joy that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ, as Christians. In these days of the Holy Triduum, we'll be reflecting on the Paschal mystery, the passion and death of our Lord Jesus, and ultimately his victory over death through his resurrection. And so we'll be spending time meditating on Jesus' Last Supper, his agony in the garden, his arrest, his trial, his scourging, crowning with thorns, carrying of his cross, and of course his hours of agony on the cross on Calvary, on Golgotha, and ultimately his handing over of his spirit, his death. And it's important that we remember a very fundamental thing why we go through this protracted meditation, and that is why Jesus did this, why he submitted himself to his passion. It was to save us from sin. To save us from sin. Jesus came to save sinners. He himself said, I did not come to call the righteous, I came to save sinners. It's because of our sin, the sin of our first parents, the sin which we all inherited, but our personal sin, that necessitated a Savior, and is why Jesus came, took on human flesh, preached, worked miracles, but ultimately suffered and died. He died to save us from sin. And so it's interesting, I think, how the church gives us on these sort of last 2 days at Mass before we enter into the sacred Triduum, readings that both focus on Judas and his betrayal of our Lord, and how in some way Judas, you know, represents all of us. We all have betrayed the Lord Jesus through our sin. And it's ultimately Judas' sin, Judas's betrayal, that kind of sets in motion, finally, the events of Jesus' arrest and those that follow in his passion. And there's a lot of things we could say about, you know, Judas's sin, but just one thing I'll point out, and that is kind of the perverse nature of sin, how we so often, because of our sin, we fall into this place of denial of our sin. And isn't it amazing that Judas could sit at the table with Jesus, and after Jesus has announced that one of you will betray me, that Judas can look at Jesus and say, surely it is not I, Rabbi. I mean, just earlier he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But now here Judas saying, surely it is not I, Rabbi. We see the perverse workings of Satan here too, and we see this pattern again and again in sin. When we are facing temptation, Satan there is whispering in our ear all the reasons why it's justifiable what we're going to do, what we want to do, why it's maybe even a good thing, you know, helping us to rationalize our behavior, our action, that thing that we want to do. And so that we, kind of like Judas, when possibly confronted with our sin, we say, surely not I. Surely not I. But then the moment we commit the sin, Satan, true to his character, turns on us and immediately becomes our accuser. We see this too with Judas in the gospel. I believe it's Matthew's gospel. Later on, it says that Judas began to experience great remorse for his sin. So he committed the sin, betrayed Jesus. Satan was there luring Judas into it, helping Judas to fall in this place of denial. But then the moment Judas commits the sin, then Satan turns on him and accuses him. And it says that Judas began to experience great remorse over what he had done. And Matthew explains that Judas goes off and hangs himself. It is the way that Satan works. He tempts us into sin, lures us into rationalizing away, but then the moment we commit it, he immediately turns on us and becomes our accuser, rubbing it in our face, what we've done, and telling us that we cannot be forgiven, that we're the most grievous of sinners. Jesus came to free us from sin and to defeat Satan so that he can no longer have the last word. So at least though he tries to tempt us, and often very successfully does, gets us to rationalize our sins, that we have a way out. We have a remedy. We have Jesus Christ and the grace that he has won for us through his passion, death, and resurrection to turn to the Lord in the face of temptation and to see rightly our actions for what they are, to recognize sin as sin, and rather than choose sin and rationalize away sin, rather choose the truth, choose obedience to our Lord Jesus. It's good for us to experience a little compunction, right, as we enter into these most holy days. I know the world in which we live is not into making us feel bad, you know, but it's good. It's good for us to feel a little bad, to have our conscience pricked a little bit in these days as we're entering into a meditation on our Lord's unbelievable gift, taking our place as sinners, the sinless one, taking our place as sinners to win for us forgiveness, redemption, the hope, the promise of eternal life. It's good for us to experience a little compunction because it will stimulate our sense of gratitude, our sense of appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. He didn't do it for somebody else. You know, he didn't do it for all those sinners out there. He did it for me. For me, this Judas, who so often says, "Surely not I, Lord." No, he did it for me. He did it for each one of us. And so realizing the very personal nature of Jesus' passion can help us to appreciate it more, have hearts filled with greater gratitude, thanksgiving for what he did for me, what he did for you. And the best part of all is that we come through on Easter Sunday, we celebrate his resurrection of the dead and the victory that he won for each of us. And we can celebrate it with greater joy and happiness, exalting and praising God for the victory that he won for each Judas, the many Judases that fill his church, that fill the world. So let's not be timid about kind of being confronted with our own sinfulness and our own need for a savior. It's good. It's good spiritual medicine because we know the divine physician has healed us ultimately from that illness. And so we're going to reflect on what necessitated his passion. And then for 50 days, we're going to celebrate the cure that he has won for us in his resurrection from the dead.